south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Just want to give you some quick information here. You know, you always hear me talking about how cheap it is to live here in Latin America. On occasion, I give you some real boots-on-the-ground examples, too. We also talk about the difference between Latin prices and gringo prices. Most of the time, you'll see the difference when you're on the gringo tourist trail, rarely off the trail. Why? Well, because when you're off the gringo tourist trail, you're a rare commodity, and local vendors and such don't see gringos all that often. In fact, most of the time, they're just so amazed that a gringo would come up and talk to them, the idea of gouging you would be the last thing on their minds. However, when gringos have invaded, for example, in Panama, Costa Rica, and especially now Ecuador, of course, that's International Living's number one gringo retirement destination. So expect to be occasionally hit up for gringo prices, especially if you don't speak much Spanish. However, it is true even in those very gringoized places, if you walk into a Walmart, Costco, or a hardware store, you're going to pay the sticker price, what's on the label. So then when do you get hit up for gringo prices? Well, it's when you're doing a deal, a one-on-one negotiation, for example. You just rolled into town, you're looking for a hotel, you walk in, you see the hotel rack rate framed up on the wall. It says, let's say, $37 a night for a single, yet the receptionist says, that'll be $57. If that happens, in most cases, you've been called out as a gringo. Because I know this for sure, if you were a Latin person walking in and negotiating room rate in Spanish, you'd get that $37 deal, maybe even less. And the fact is, most gringos won't even argue the price. They figure, well, it's fairly cheap anyway, and they rarely ever argue the point or test the waters to see if the guy will go any lower. So then, what can you do? Well, how's this for throwing a wrench into the gringo pricing setup? Now, you longtime listeners know that I'm almost never on the gringo tourist trail. So gringo prices, man, that almost never happens to me. In fact, in the last couple of years, I think I've only been nailed for gringo prices two times. Once in one of those big markets when I was trying to buy some avocados. As it turned out, a lady vendor who spoke way too much streetwise English to me, which was a tip-off, she tried to sell me one avocado for $2. At first, I couldn't believe it. I knew the price of avocados, and I thought she was making a joke. Then she repeated, seriously, $2. And I said, really, $2? Are they gold-plated or something? In your dreams, lady. En tus sueños. Then I walked about a half block down and bought 5 avocados for $1.50. The usual price in one of those big mercados at this time of the year. Depends on the season. Sometimes you get 3 for $1.50, and sometimes you get 10 for $1.50. So why'd that happen? Well, the story on her is I'm sure she hasn't seen a gringo in months. Nope. Not since she was caught and deported from, I would guess, maybe East L.A. Yep, she definitely knew what gringos were willing to pay for an avocado up in the States. That would be $2. All right, getting back to the real cost of living here in Latin America. How about this one for some dramatic proof? The other day, I was in a pretty big hardware store. It's a Latin chain, and they have at least 20 big stores. And of course, everything's in Spanish. Guys, you know, have a soft spot for hardware stores, as do women for shoe stores. It rarely works the other way around, except maybe in cases like Bruce Jenner. Now, they also have a very big ceramic and floor tile section, with some of the most beautiful and unbelievably inexpensive tile you've ever seen. That, unfortunately, along with the latest and greatest prefab plastic fake wood flooring, too. Yuck. You know that crap fake wood flooring they put in all those cookie-cutter track homes in the States? Well, it's made it down here, too, and people are buying it like crazy. Why? Because it's from the first world, imported from the U.S. Or so they think. And get this, the marketing pamphlets and the sign above this stuff even has an American flag, and it says in big letters, Hecho en Estados Unidos, made in the USA. And actually, I think that's BS. It's certainly made in China, then shipped to the States, then stamped and sent down here to Latin America. It's what you might call the gringo disadvantage. For the buyer, of course, but not the seller. Yep, fake wood products are strictly from the white trash trailer court school of design. fact is, down here in Latin America, you can get some of the most fantastic floor tile you've ever seen. From rustic to colonial to slick, very modern styles. And rainforest hardwood floors, too. For around $1 a square foot or less. And a good tile installer, you can hire one of those guys for around $20 to $25 a day. Not per hour, per day. Oh, and about tile installers, they do absolutely fantastic work. Plus, they do some of the crappiest work I've ever seen, too. It's all about you being there, and when you're not cracking the whip on them, they'll do things Latin style, not first world style. Though they're capable of doing an absolutely perfect job. If you don't get them started on the right track right away, when the job's done and you're gone, if the odd crooked tile, jagged edge, or sloppy grout work bothers you, well, you're stuck looking at that stuff every day as long as you live in that place. So how do you find a tile installer? Well, every hardware store or place that sells tile has a list of guys that do that kind of work. Or you can hunt out an installer in the classified news sections or OLX.com. You know, the Craigslist of Latin America. But more often than not, there'll be some neighbors in your gated guarded community or wherever you live that had some nice tile work done, and you'll notice beautifully detailed tile work right away. Then hook up with their installer. Oh, and do notice when you're in a high-end gated guarded community how much bad tile work there is. I mean, not only badly installed, but bad color schemes too. Turns out, Latin people with a little money have the same problems as gringos with little money. They think money equals taste, and man, I'll tell you, that doesn't happen too often. Which is why, in high-end Latin neighborhoods, houses look very nice from the outside, and once you get in, you'd swear most of them were colorblind, or that they'd hired the decorator from the furniture department at Walmart. But of course, some Latin people have great taste, and the ones that succeed are the ones that stick to the traditional colonial Spanish designs. You can't hardly screw that formula up down here in Latin America. That's a 500-year tradition. I'll tell you, when Latin people with money really screw up in the decorating department is when they go modern. That means lofts, open spaces, glass, granite, marble, chrome and leather, you know, the Spartan look. Yep, that gringo trend is starting to penetrate down here too. But as usual, Latins just can't quite get it right. The fact is, I've been in lots and lots of new developments, meaning high-end, modern-style developments, and unfortunately, these structures are just loaded with tiny and not-so-tiny defects. I'm talking about brand new places, too. In fact, I could sit in the living room, dining room, kitchen, bedroom for just a couple of minutes and see any number of annoying defects that a Latin person would never even pick up on. However, maybe just the fact that Latins don't notice that stuff, they live happier and more peaceful lives. They're not bothered by the little things. Then again, big defects don't seem to bother them either. For example, a warped door or crooked door frame, a piece of trim or molding that doesn't quite match the others. Leaks, mold, and water stains. Expensive light fixtures with a little paint splashed on them. Bathroom fixtures, tubs, and showers that are just loaded with rock-hard scale. Worse yet, floor drains that are pitched the wrong way. Yep, that's something that would really piss you off. I've been in plenty high-end Latin houses where you turn on the shower. Sure, most of the water goes down the drain, that's what it's for. But many times, there'll be a low spot with standing water far away from the drain. Duh. Do you notice those things? Well, Latins don't. And water leaks? Man, let me tell you, that's a pet peeve of mine. And so many gringos. Latins have had 500 years to figure out the rainy season, and they still don't get it. They just love squared-off, flat roofs with no overhangs to divert the water. And that's a recipe for disaster. In fact, just the other day, I was visiting my gringo friend Oscar. Came to one of my very first expat insider seminars and moved down here for good. So far, he's lived in a couple of different places and just moved in to a townhouse in an upper-middle-class gated guarded community. It would be upper-middle-class to Latins, middle-class to us. And the place he's in is rather nice, but it's got defects all over the place, and it's only 2 or 3 years old. It's about 2,000 square feet, flat roof, of course, modern design. And though we're in the land of that tremendous rainforest hardwood, the place has synthetic parquet wood flooring. But why, when they're both about the same price? Well, I can only think that it's because the builders anticipate water damage. First off, Oscar pointed out that in one of the bathrooms, the water does not flow toward the drain. Nice, huh? Then we went on the balcony and he pointed out a couple of places that always leaked when it rained. And along with a typical Latin, not-so-well-thought-out floor plan, they never installed a dryer vent hole for the exhaust, even though the dryer was on an outside wall. But like I said, when you're outside, looking at the development from the road, looks rather nice and first world all around. But in the words of Billy Shakespeare, sorry, bub, it ain't. However, if you were to buy one of the units in this condo complex, and there were a few for sale, starting at around 100 grand, we figured it would take way under 5 grand to make it a show place. So the key to getting a first world place without all the defects is to build it yourself and be around a lot, or buy an existing place with all the usual Latin defects and put a few grand into it. Remember, materials and labor are dirt cheap here in Latin America. Even the best quality materials you could never afford up in the States, like real granite, marble, and rainforest hardwoods. But of course, if there's constant leaks, then that hardwood's gonna get ruined, right? Which is why in the last few years there's been a boom in that crappy synthetic hardwood flooring. Typical ass-backwards third-world thinking, huh? Let's not go after the water problems, let's just have waterproof floors. Even their sales promos, pamphlets, and ads say that's the advantage. It's waterproof. I'll tell you what that says. It's an admission by architects and contractors that their buildings will leak. They're saying it's a given. Duh. Oh, and about being able to afford construction materials you can never afford up in the States, how about this? I walked into the floor tile section of that big hardware store, and there was a nice big marble and granite display. I mean, real marble, real granite, cut into 1-foot sections, about 3/8 of an inch thick, highly polished, beautifully cut and trim. They must have had 10 different colors, from jet black all the way to white. Remember, this stuff's cut, quarried, and polished here in Latin America. It's a local item. That means dirt cheap labor and minimal shipping charges. Anyway, this was very, very high quality, grade A stuff. For countertops, floors, whatever. And the pricing? Well, you're not going to believe this. And I think I'm going to take a photo and put it up on my YouTube. Would you believe $4 a square foot? And they're not just selling it in square foot tile size pieces either. They got big slabs of the stuff in all sizes. And the building supply guy told me it costs around the same to have it installed. So $4 a square foot plus $4 a square foot to install. Whereas up in the States, I'm looking at a tile contractor's page here. It says, for real granite or marble installations, the costs of the granite or marble ranges from $50 to $100 a foot, with labor or installation costs being from 25 to 50% of the cost of the tile. So you're looking at, on the low end, around $75 a square foot installed. That works out to be around 10 times the price of having it done down here in Latin America. 10 times. And as far as installing ceramic tile, up in the States, the cost is around $4 to $5 a square foot, and you supply the tile. Whereas here in Latin America, off the Gringo Tourist Trail anyway, it runs anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar a square foot to install. So down here, you could buy really nice tile all day long for about $1 a square foot, whereas up in the States, to get decent tile of the same quality, it'll cost you from $3 to $7 a square foot. Again, about 7 to 10 times as much as it costs to do the same thing here in Latin America. And we're not even talking about how up in the States you have to often reinforce the subfloor because they have wooden joists and floor studs. Not an issue down here because all floors are concrete. So there's the really low-end ceramic tile, which you could get for 50 cents a square foot anywhere. And believe me, that crap's extremely popular here in Latin America. Nothing wrong with that if you don't mind your house looking like the bathroom in a bowling alley. No offense if bowling's your sport, it's the sport of kings in Milwaukee and Cleveland, right? Which brings us full circle back to gringo prices. So then how might you get nailed for gringo prices? Let's say you're having some tile installed, or granite, or marble. Well, you know, when you're in the building supply or hardware store, whether you're a Latino or a gringo, you'll pay the same price for the material. You generally can't barter or bargain with the sales clerk. You're stuck with the sticker price. Though, believe it or not, it doesn't hurt to try. Sometimes you will get them to cut the price down. Especially if you say those magic words, do I get a discount for cash? ¿Hay un descuento por efectivo? I can't tell you how many times I've got 5, 10, or 15% off by using that phrase. So remember that phrase, ¿Hay un descuento por efectivo? In fact, many times I've been with expat Eddie and he'll say to the clerk, yo entiendo, hay un descuento por efectivo. which puts even a little more pressure on the sales guy. What he's saying is, I understand in this store you get a discount for cash. Kind of putting the clerk on the spot, and oftentimes he'll go back to the boss and mention it, and you will get the discount. Yep, all those little tricks you learn once you've been down here a while. But only, I'm sure you've noticed, if you've got a little Spanish down. So I repeat, whether you're on or off the Gringo Tourist Trail, if you walk into a building supply store or hardware store, you'll pay the same price as everyone else, unless you force the cash issue. Though, where you'll possibly get hit up for Gringo prices is on the labor costs, the negotiable costs that are not listed on the ticket. So as mentioned, when you're well off Tourist Trail, you might pay 50 cents a square foot to have tile installed and maybe $4 a square foot for granite or marble. That's because they've got some special cutting tools and such. However, when you're on the trail, the guy you're dealing with will look at you, see you're a gringo. No, you've got extra money and resources, and he knows that other gringos have paid his price, so he could very well double that labor figure. To you, it seems so dirt cheap anyway. You'll probably agree then and there and won't put up a fuss at all. How would you know anyway, unless you spoke Spanish or checked around quite a bit? And the more gringos agree to those prices, and it happens all the time on the tourist trail, the faster the general cost of living creeps up and up and up. So here's my advice on the subject. Anytime you're having some construction or repair work done, when you're getting an estimate or two or three, ask the guy first how long it's going to take. If he says, for example, 2 guys, 2 days, then you know it's going to take maybe 30 man hours or so. Then ask him to give you a price on the whole job. And if he says, for example, $100, that works out to about $3 an hour, right? Which is a pretty tempting price. You can never get a first world contractor, a specialist like a tile worker, to come in for anything under probably $20 an hour. But what you really should do is have the installer or contractor bid it 2 ways, as a whole job, and have him bid it by the hour too. Now, suppose he says $3 an hour. Well, that works out to about the same cost either way, by the hour, by the job, right? Well, not so fast. What I found out, and I've been involved in a lot of projects down here, when a guy's working by the hour, oh, he'll work all right, but he won't work quite as hard and fast as if he's working by the job. Logically, you pay the guy by the hour, he'll want to work as many hours as he can, right? However, if you make the deal so that he's working by the job, he's going to want to get in and out of there as fast as he can to move on to the next job. So, what's best? What's it going to be, by the hour or by the job? Well, remember, you're the boss, you got the dough. And the truth is, when you're negotiating labor on a job, let's, for example, talk about it being a tile job. You'll be buying the supplies, the tile, the grout. Grout is called sisa down here, by the way. Sisa. Up in the States, they call the cement for the tiles thin set. Down here, they call that cement pega mix. Pega mix. By the way, pega or pegar means to stick or sticky. Makes sense, huh? Sticky mix. Anyway, on most jobs here in Latin America, you'll be buying the supplies, which is good. You'll pay what everyone else pays. No gringo prices there. However, do note that there's an excess labor pool here in Latin America. So whatever they quote you for a job, whether it's by the hour or by the job, you can haggle with them there too. They're used to that. Latins always haggle when it comes to labor. Whereas for us gringos, being from up in the first world, we almost never haggle. We accept a price as it's stated because we're used to that. So what about it? Better by the job or by the hour? As for me, I almost always prefer by the job. The problem is, though, most every time I've made a deal that way, it turns out kind of like a U.S. government contract. There's always overruns. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've heard a contractor say, "Don Johnny, necesitamos hablar." Meaning, "Don Johnny, we got to talk." And then come the excuses. "I had to put on an extra guy, so it's going to cost a little more. The wires were frayed, we hit tree roots, a broken pipe. Who knew we'd have to dig so deep or that the ground was so hard?" Million excuses. And sometimes along the way, they'll ask for more money and give you no reason whatsoever. It's just he ran out of money to pay his boys. Or maybe it has nothing to do with the job at all. He's just a gambler or drinker, or maybe he has to buy a present for his kid, wife, mistress, or all three. Who knows? If you're paying him by the job, they'll ask you for more money somewhere along the way. You can bet on that. Of course, that won't happen with a small job that takes a day or less, but if they're there for a long time, that's going to happen. Matter of fact, not so long ago, I had a contractor building a storage unit for me. Total labor cost around $275, and towards the end, he said, "Don Johnny, we got to talk." He wanted an additional $25. I gave it to him. Why not? But I said, under one condition. Have your guys clean up the job site exactly as you found it. Because, you know, that's one of the biggest problems you'll ever have with contractors doing work for you. Not only do they slob up the whole job site, leave food bottles and junk food wrappers everywhere, they're terribly careless with paint, cement, sealers, and caulk, etc. Worse yet, since they're touching all that stuff, their hands are constantly filthy and they're touching everything. Doors, walls, ceilings, trim, even your car. Oh, that's a big mistake. Leaving your cars in your garage when contractors have to come in and out of your house to do some work. Man, that's asking for trouble. Better yet, if your contractors are working on nice or even halfway decent stuff, get some of those plastic tarps and keep them covered. Remember, probably every one of these guys, except the foreman and the head contractor, are living in tin shack cold water flats. For example, expat Eddie had some landscaping done and a gazebo built in his backyard, and the contractors had to come through his main garage door with all their equipment, including the cement, tools, wheelbarrows, etc., etc. Oh, they did a good job with the landscaping. The gazebo looked great. But when they left, Eddie had to have his maintenance guy sand and repaint that garage door. Not to mention, there's a brand new fine little line of paint drippings down the center of his garage door slab. Lucky he parked his cars out on the street for the duration, or it would have been a lot worse. Anyway, expect that kind of stuff with your own construction projects. You've been warned. Oh, that reminds me. Look out when you take your car to the local little garage mechanic in your neighborhood. Expect that he will be very dirty and grimed up with oil and grease, and he'll sit in the front seat of your car because he'll have to test it once he's done working on it, right? Now, of course, if you go to a regular car dealership for maintenance work, they'll do like they do in the States and put plastic covers on the seats and paper mats on the floor because they are franchised first world dealerships and they follow the first world routines of the franchise. And they're not about to scum up the interior of your car or they've got to make it right. But chances are you won't be going to a dealership for car maintenance work unless you're under warranty. Why? Because those little hole-in-the-wall mechanics, there are a few in every neighborhood, can do pretty much all of that at a quarter of the cost. Why give your dough to those big corporate jerks when you can help out a little hard-working guy in the neighborhood? But unless you plan ahead, he will scum up your upholstery. Not intentionally, of course, but he doesn't know better. Remember, he most probably lives in a cold water tin shack himself. So have an old beach towel or two in the trunk of your car, maybe some newspapers and a couple of big plastic garbage bags. You'll save yourself a lot of grief in the end. Or skip it like the other Latin customers do and take your chances. Enough said about that. All right, how about an email? It says, Johnny, I am planning on coming to your seminar in January 2018. You say it's in and around Guatemala, right? But I understand there's some kind of constitutional crisis going on in Guatemala right now. At least that's what they're saying in some of the news reports. So what's that about? Will that change things for you? See you soon. Signed, Phil. Well, Phil, if you live down here for a while, you know it's not even worth talking about. In fact, I have to laugh. You know, Latin politicians are thieving pus bags just like American politicians. But these Latin politicians aren't very smart. The only thing they were really good at is stealing. Which is why, by the way, at this very moment, there are no less than 27 Latin American former presidents and vice presidents either in jail, under indictment, or being investigated for, surprise, surprise, what else? Taking bribes and looting their treasuries. And you know, there are only 20 Latin American countries. And with 27 top-end politicians either in or going to the slammer, well, that does give you an idea what kind of talent they've got running these countries, right? Well, as far as Guatemala, you know, the former president and vice president are in jail for massive corruption. And the new guy, Jimmy Morales, who everybody laughed at because he was a former TV clown. Well, there's a UN Commission on Graft, Impunity, and Corruption in Guatemala investigating politicians. And surprise, surprise, they just indicted the president's son for graft. And along the way, they found the presidential clown took a $500,000 campaign contribution from a bunch of narcos. Yep, business as usual here in Latin America. So the new clown president, looking at impeachment and jail time himself, tried just a week ago to kick the UN Commission out of the country to save his and his kid's neck. Now, personally, I think the UN is a rancid conglomeration of corrupt, syphilitic, pissant morons. And of course, I mean that in the kindest spirit of Christian brotherhood and goodwill. But I digress. However, in Guatemala, they say it's another constitutional crisis. And that's the same story, like a broken record, in practically every Latin country. Turns out in Latin America, whenever a national leader gets caught with his hand in the till and gets backed into a corner, he's got immunity, you know, and they call it a constitutional crisis, and Congress gets together And they do constitutional rewrites or press the reset button. For example, Haiti has had 24 completely new constitutions. Ecuador has had 20, last one in 2008. And Venezuela is on its 26th constitution. And the DR, the Dominican Republic, has had 32 constitutional rewrites. So when Latin politicians talk about a constitutional crisis or rewriting the constitution, well, that's so common down here, no one gives a rip. And who feels the change when one constitution flips over to another? No one, really. Least of all, gringos and expats. So then who does care? Well, there must be someone. Well, sure, all those useless, fat-ass, political pundits, analysts, and journalists who feed on that stuff. One thing you can count on is that constitutions will be adjusted and changed according to the prevailing chaos in government. You know, all nations have a Supreme Court, and those courts only handle constitutional issues. Well, get this. Brazil's Supreme Court handles around 70,000 constitutional cases a year. Talk about a government in chaos and crisis. So when us gringos and expats hear about that kind of stuff, should we be worried? Well, me and most every other expat I know will agree. We've got loads and loads of freedom down here. Up in the States is where it's terminal. For you guys, the clock is ticking because your politicians have tremendous power to screw with your lives. What about your drooling, lying congressional puss bags? Every dumbass move they make affects you. Whereas down here, no matter what happens in politics, things go on as usual. Pretty much like you were living back in the 1970s or 80s, except for the overregulated banking system, which the US FATCA and GATCA laws have forced on every country. So what's it going to be for you? Are you going to go down with the Titanic, or have you got some kind of plan B in motion? Of course, that's what my expat insider seminars are all about. The boots on the ground fast track way to get you up to speed with your plan B. And my next seminar starts January 6, 2018. By next week, I'll have the sign-up sheet at thenewexpat.com. Have a look and especially check out those early bird discounts. However, if you just can't get down to the seminar, the next best thing to do is to sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Just go to www.expatplanb.com and check out the free video that tells all about it. And if you're stuck anywhere along the line in your own plan B, you can always do a one-on-one phone or Skype consult with me. Just go to thenewexpat.com, download my consult questionnaire, and we'll take it from there.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.